Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Inside Black and Gold, Jeff Nowak, Steve Geller, coming back at you after the Saints debacle versus the Packers and ahead of the Saints upcoming debacle versus the Raiders. We'll see how that goes. I am not particularly hopeful, but hey, we'll find out. I think it's going to come down to, hey, if Derek Carr starts, I think you probably win the game. If Derek Carr doesn't start, then I think Vegas is probably right. And we see what happens. But we're kind of getting, okay, what's the fallout? Where do we go from here? And let's start with Spencer Rattler and just kind of talk about where do we land on him? And let's start with you, Steve. Like, what is your kind of read on Spencer at this point?
There's been some moments, but definitely not enough. And he looks like a fifth round rookie right now. I mean, that to be fair. And I try to, you know, look at things, and given the situation that he's been put in, it's obviously not ideal, but you still want to see better execution. There are just some points he gets a little overwhelmed in this offense, and I get it. You know, you don't have the O-line, you don't have the weapons. So I really don't know how I feel about Spencer still. Seeing more of what we saw, obviously, on Monday night, I don't want that, but the Packers are definitely a superior team, and the Raiders are not in that realm. So I feel like I do want to see another outing from him on Sunday, even though from what we've gathered so far, it hasn't been impressive. And no, he hasn't looked like a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's my bigger thing. It's like he has not looked like a starting quarterback at any point. The only and here's the thing, like, we can talk about, hey, look great in the Commanders game. At this point, that is the massive outlier to what has otherwise been four incredibly disappointing starting football games. And it was a situation where you didn't start the game, right? Because we've seen, I remember Kevin Cobb. I remember Philadelphia Eagles. Kevin Cobb would come in on the relief of Donovan McNabb and play great. And then it was like, oh, well, he could be a starter. And they traded him to the Cardinals. The Cardinals actually traded something for him. And then he went over there and it was like, oh, he's not a starter. He's a backup. He can come in at relief and he can play well. And it's like, that's a thing. That's not like an aberration. Like, you see that all the time. Look at fucking Jake Haener. He did the same thing twice. He came in and led just as many scoring drives as Spencer Rattler has. And here's the thing. Like, you want to be a starting quarterback, you got to perform well in your starts. And you look at the 14 and a half quarters. I'm going to kind of, because there's some he didn't finish. You look at 14 and a half quarters he has played as a starter, right? You have one quarter against the Bucks where you scored 27 points, and now seven of those were a punt return. Two of those touchdown drives, or at least one of those touchdown drives, started deep in Bucks territory. Another one was a field goal drive that started deep in Bucks territory, and then another was a long drive before halftime, which is now currently the only long drive he has led for a touchdown that he finished off, because I'm not giving him credit for Cedric Wilson's touchdown throw. There you have it. A second quarter against the Bucks with 27 points. In the other 13 and a half quarters, he has accounted for 6 total points. I'm not giving him credit for the safety against the Chargers.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it. In those quarters, he has been... In those quarters, he has accounted for 6 points and has been sacked 17 times.
How many turnovers?
He has 2 interceptions and 3 fumbles. So he has 5 turnovers to 1 touchdown throw in those 13 and a half quarters.
I still don't know what happened with that fumble in the Green Bay game.
I mean, well, it's just an example of like, okay, so you look at it and you say, okay, how does a guy get sacked at double the rate of the other starting quarterback? And that's what's happened. Derek Carr started 10 games. He has been sacked 8 times. Spencer Rattler has started 4 games and been sacked 17 times. Is that, so you're telling me that's the offensive line? No, it's understanding what's happening. And that's what happened on that fumble. It's a play that the protection got messed up, and you need to be able to identify that as a quarterback and get the ball out.
And
instead, he doesn't.
Out.
Panics, and he just, you know, it was like something you saw from like Mark Sanchez, right? Like the butt fumble thing. It was like, they're not supposed to be there. What's going on? Ah, take it. I don't want it. And he's a rookie. Like, and you don't want to talk about a rookie as if like he should be better than he is. But that's why I went into the season saying, if you are a Spencer Rattler fan and you think Spencer Rattler has the ability to be a starting quarterback long term, you should not be rooting for him to start games this year, because that's what he's going to look like. And that's what he looks like. And so I don't know. Like if Spencer, at the pace Spencer is going, if he started 10 games, he would have been sacked 42 times. He would have been sacked times in Derek Carr at the pace that he is going. And that's unsustainable. You do not have the pieces around him for him to be successful. So you look at that, but it's also the decisions. I mean, like, okay, yeah. How do you get shut out in a game? Right? Because I guarantee you, if Derek Carr's starting in that game, and this is not a high bar to clear, but you're not getting shut out. Because like, but how do you get shut out in a game? It's every time you're in a position where you could potentially score points, you do something stupid. Like fumble, like take it. The best play of the game for him was a really bizarre looking throw, but it was an incredibly athletic throw, and it shows you exactly why you look at him like, this guy has all the arm talent in the world, because he did this like insane jump pass. Looked like Derek Jeter out there throwing a dime to Dante Pettis on 3rd and 17. I was just like, what the hell just happened? Oh, you barely had time to even get excited about it. Like the same
right.
To clip it and send it out, but like, wow, I would have done him, because the next play you throw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. And here's the thing. Interceptions are interceptions. If you're a rookie and you're throwing interceptions, that's fine. If ball gets tipped up, you know, whatever. This is a play that he was never open. You just didn't see the defender dropping. And it's like, that's just bad quarterback play. And it's like, I have not seen a moment outside of that second half versus the Commanders where you made multiple good plays in a row. And I don't know. Frustrating. And I don't know how, like... And the argument to me to say, like, I don't want to play Derek again, I want to play Spencer, is because I want to send him out there against the bad team and see if maybe he looks better. Because the game he's played in, he's played four really good teams. Those are the starts he made, right? Like, you're talking about really good Bucks, whatever, division game. That's a tough game.
Sure.
Then Chargers. I'm sorry. Then Broncos on national television. Chargers. Yes. And Packers. So you're talking about 4 playoff teams, maybe. You know, the Bucks might, they're still kind of in contention there, but
they're still in the hunt, right?
I would say they're the best team in the NFC South. So you're talking about 4 likely playoff teams, maybe 3, definitely 3. And you haven't seen him go out there and get to play a team like the Giants or play a team like the Panthers, like a team that you should be confident that he's a good enough, like I don't know. And so that's the tough part is, if you want to look at it and say, hey, the Saints are 5-5 with Derek Carr as a starting quarterback. They're 0-5 with Spencer Rattler as a starting quarterback. What would their record be if Derek Carr had started all 5 of those games? I don't know. I don't think you're beating the Broncos. I don't think you're beating the Packers. Are you beating the Chargers? Maybe. Because I think that game was very winnable if you just score some points. Like the Saints were ahead 2-0 for a good chunk of that first half. Like, they just, if they put any points on the board at all, I think they have a chance. Would you have beaten the Bucks? Maybe, because again, if you scored in three of the other you didn't score in three quarters of that game. If you did, you put 27 points up in the third quarter or the second quarter, like you give yourself a chance. So maybe 2-2 in those four games. And then against the Commanders, it's tough to say. That was a Jake Haener game, so I'm not going to put that on Spencer. And he obviously came in and gave him a chance. So at best, you're 3-2, maybe 2-3. But it's tough because you don't want to look back and say, well, I have, I mean, you're going to look back and say he went 0-5 or 0-4, but you never saw him in a favorable matchup, is my point. So I don't know, but I just don't know how what you've seen translates into going into this offseason saying, well, he's
the future guy. Yeah. Thinking that, oh, this guy is going to be the future starting quarterback of the Saints. I don't know who thinks that at the moment, because you have to be like a complete rattler, dedicated, you know, like kind of Jameis one-on-one stuff going on here, making excuses for him constantly. And I don't want to do that. But I mentioned obviously the O-line and all the weapons being down, but just there hasn't been any like a glimpse of something except for that 2-minute drive against Washington where you had some confidence in Spencer.
Right. And I need to see it in a start. I do. Like, I need to see him start a game and play and give yourself a chance. And that's the problem I have, is it's not that you weren't perfect. It's not that you played like a rookie. It's that you just never had a chance. Like, you didn't give yourself a chance. And that's been the case for four different starts. So I don't know. Like, and here's the thing. Again, he's a rookie. He probably shouldn't have been playing this year at all. That's why I said that at the beginning of the season. Like, this is a 2-3 year project. And I think it's entirely possible that he comes back next year. He gets another year starting or backup reps in camp, right? Like, you're not competing. I think you probably just say, hey, one of these guys is the backup. But I think it's also a good case study in why you want to have a veteran backup quarterback, because, like, yeah, he's a rookie. It's tough, whatever. I think if you had a veteran in there who understood how to play in these type of games, you probably win one or two of these games. And instead, you have this. So, like, I understand why Sean Payton was always leaning toward, hey, I'd rather have a Teddy Bridgewater or a Trevor Siemian or somebody like that, right? A Luke McCown. Because when they got into the games, it was not other than maybe that Bills game on Thanksgiving where you really didn't have a chance. It was always like, okay, let's see what happens. Now, I think Trevor went 0-5 in his starts, and you were just like, yeah, he's not starting quarterback. But or 0-4 maybe. I think one of those starts was Taysom Hill. I think that was Cowboys game. It was Taysom Hill. But I don't know. Like, it's tough because you don't want to act like, well, he's a rookie, he didn't play well, so you give up on him. But you don't get a lot of time. Like, your runway as a young quarterback in the NFL is not that long if you are not showing something to build on. And right now, I just haven't seen him show anything to build on. And you're talking about the Saints. You're going to have a top 10 pick, or at least you should have a top 10 pick.
Right.
And if there's a guy there that you feel good about, you're not saying, well, we have Spencer, right? That's kind of where I'm going with this, is when you're picking in the top 10 of the draft and there's a quarterback there that you think he has a future, Spencer has not done anything this season that would have you in there being like, we don't need to draft him because we have our guy. So, like, that's kind of where the fallout of this, fallout of these performances, of this game, of getting shut out on national television, of making mistakes and not looking ready and looking overwhelmed, is when the Saints are on the clock, that does not enter the discussion whatsoever of, we think we have our guy, so we don't need to draft this guy. You don't have your guy. At least not based on what he's done on the field.
The problem this draft, obviously, though, is there a QB worthy of taking in the top 10?
You know, it's funny because I actually think from a quarterback perspective, probably, yeah. Now, isn't going to be a draft where the top three quarterbacks or the top three picks are all quarterbacks. Like, you don't have that.
Yeah.
But there are going to be a few quarterbacks that, yeah, maybe fall to 10. Like, if you're looking at a Shedeur Sanders, a Cam Ward, some of these guys, right?
Quinn Ewers. I think they'll be gone.
I don't think so, because I think this is going to be a draft where you see, like, look at the projected top picks right now, and they're not quarterbacks. You know, like, let's look at a mock draft right now.
I figured Shador's going to the Giants.
It's entirely possible, but I don't know. I think this is going to be one of those drafts where you talk yourself out of a quarterback over the final.
And then who knows where Cam Ward goes? I just don't see him lasting. So you're left like maybe with like a Jalen Milroe at number 10.
Sure, but again, like I think those are options, right? And it's a question of where you land on it. So I always go to the consensus mock draft here on this website. So
okay,
right now you're looking at Cam Ward, Travis Hunter. Like this has, where's Shadur? Well, this, that can't be right. This has Shadur is not even a top 10 pick. But like, I mean, like there's a chance that people talk themselves out of these quarterbacks. And we'll see like the Raiders. The Raiders is funny because the Raiders, they had the top pick basically wrapped up. All they have to do is not beat the Jaguars. And they couldn't do it. They dropped all the way to 6 right now in the mock draft. So winning these games is not a good thing for these teams. But yeah, Travis Hunter's up there. Will Johnson, Calvin Banks, Jalen Milroe's up there. Will Campbell's up there. So, I mean, you're going to have a chance to get one of these guys. But again, like that's kind of just to kind of wrap that up. Like, for example, if people talk themselves out of these quarterbacks and you really like a Shadur Sanders and he drops all the way to 10, what's stopping you? Because it's not Spencer from taking that guy. That's not who's stopping you. Sorry?
Prime, Dion. Yeah, that's what's stopping you from taking him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Dion, I feel like we'll see. I mean, none of these teams at the top of the, like, would he rather go to the Jags? Would he rather go to the Titans? Would he rather go to the Browns? Now, the Raiders would make sense for him.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's tough, but either way, that's the fallout. We don't need to trash Spencer any more than this. It just hasn't gone well. And that's been the case for Jake too. Like it hasn't gone well for either of these guys. You went into the season saying, I like both. I don't see how you come out of this season saying like either of these guys is the future.
Yeah. Even the snake pit is really quiet of late in supporting Rattler. And you can't blame him, obviously, what he's been doing. I can just put that jump pass on a loop. That's about it.
Just make sure you cut it off before the next play.
Right.
And that's kind of what Riz said. And I agree with him. It's like, if you went and you put the top 10 plays that Spencer had in that game on a highlight reel, you'd be like, oh, we might have something here. But then if you go and you do the opposite and you put the bottom 10 plays on a highlight reel, you'd be like, uh-oh. You know, so and like, that's not good.
Clueless.
That's not good. You don't want that. And kind of speaking of Rizzy, and that's kind of the next step here is I think that game, you know, it's tough to look at and say like, well, what were your expectations for the Saints versus what did they do? And I don't know if that's, you know, when you fire your head coach, you expect bad things to happen, right? Like you expect to lose games. You don't fire the coach because you're like, we have a team that's going to win out. But even that, by those standards, that's ugly. And that's tough. And, you know, I think to me personally, what I think I put the number at 4. I thought like Rizzy, when we talked about it earlier, was like, what does Rizzy have to do to keep this job? How many games does he have to win to keep this job? I think was the question. And I think I said at the time, like, there's no exact number of like, he won this many games, so he gets the job. But I think there is a number of, if you don't win this many games, you're not going to be seriously considered for the job. And I put the number at 4. Right now, he's won 3. You know, and I don't know, like, if you go out and beat the Raiders and you lose to the Bucks, you're 4-4. And I kind of feel like you needed to win one of these 3 games you lost to really put your stamp on something. And not only did you not win those games, you gave yourself a chance, to be fair. You did give yourself a chance in the first two. But to lose one of those games the way you did, I think that's a bigger statement than anything you could have done. Because it not only showed that you were not a good team this year, it showed just how far away you are from not the 15-1 Chiefs, not leave the Lions or the Vikings. Talking about a team that's third in their own division. You're talking about like a team that's going to be going on the road in the first round of the playoffs. That's how far you are away from that team. And that's a good team. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not trashing the Packers. It's a good team, but this is not like the 85 Bears here. Like, you were not competitive. You didn't just lose. You got run out of that building to the point that Claire was at the game.
I think everyone's talked about it. It looked like varsity versus JV for sure.
Claire was at the game, and in the first half, so she's wearing a Saints hat, right? And in the first half, people were like, kind of ribbing her a little bit. In the second half, they just felt bad for her. Because she was just like, they were just like, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry you came all the way out here to watch this game, eh?
That's You're like, thanks.
I spent that entire trip being like, trying not to laugh at people, because it's like, you know, like you watch Fargo and you make and you talk in that accent, and it's like, ha 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 ha. But then like you go out there and like you get in an Uber and they're like, oh, how you doing? You having a good day? I'm like, oh, like they're serious. Oh no, I have to have this conversation. And we're like, oh, that's a guy. We got that beard. That's from Sheboygan. That's where I'm from.
Sheboygan. What a great name.
But they are so friendly, and it was just funny because they're doing the wave, and the coach is like, guys, can you pay the hell attention to the game? And they're like, they're bored. What do you want them to do? Like, the Saints have not kept them entertained. And that's, I don't know, that's such a, like, as you're going through these interviews and you're trying to figure out, okay, well, why would we keep Rizzy? And you look at that game and you're just like, oh, man, no. Now, if you come back and you win your last two games and you kind of bounce back, I'm doing the accent by accident now. I don't know, maybe that changes the equation. Maybe you feel like, hey, he bounced back from a 7-game losing streak and he kind of got this thing back rolling. He bounced back from a shutout on national television. He got this thing back rolling. I don't know, maybe that changes something, but I don't know. To me, that game is a stamp on burn it down, start fresh. I don't care what it looks like. It can't be this again. That's what that says to me. Like, that's the fallout to me, is I can't do this again. Like, nothing is salvageable. Maybe a couple of the players, you got some young players. Maybe if you really think Clint Kubiak is a guy and you can sell him to the next head coach, maybe. But I don't know. Nothing stays. Sell it all. Burnt down. I'm fine with that.
That was definitely the general consensus from Hudats after that matchup. And yeah, it's sad to think, obviously, where this franchise once was, and the devoid of talent right now is really sad. But obviously, too, we've talked about the amount of injuries, but I don't know how many more excuses you can make for anyone.
No, I mean, like injuries happen, and this year has been excessive. I get that, but like Ritz can talk all he wants about how it wasn't a lack of effort. Like, I don't know, you watch the game. Like, if you don't want to call it a lack of effort, fine. Call it a lack of belief. Call it whatever you want. Like, they didn't have a chance. Like that from the first drive of that game. We can talk all we want about how Spencer Rattler wasn't good enough. I don't know. You're allowing a 94-yard 17 play touchdown drive. Your first
that was rough. That was demoralizing.
Defensive possessions. You get him into 3rd and 6 on the first set of downs, and you jump offside both times. A 3rd and 1 against a Josh Jacobs led offense is basically a free first down. You're not stopping him. So, like, I don't know. Like, we can say it's on the rookie quarterback, and you heard us. We went in on Spencer. Like, I get it, but the defense was just as bad. Like, we're talking about Spencer. We're saying, how do you not get shut out? We're not saying, how do you win? Because they didn't have a chance to win. The second they went down the field and scored on their opening drive, I was like, they're going to lose this game. Because if that's going to be how easy it looks for them,
right,
you could score on every offensive possession, you're probably still going to lose the game. Malik Willis got in the game. He's throwing darts.
No, and then like you mentioned, that opening drive, then the Saints gave it back to him, and they doubled down with that second drive that you mentioned with just, what was it, 96 or 95 yards, something like that?
94 yards, 17 plays. And yeah.
From that point, it was like, great, this is going to be a long freaking night.
Yeah. And like, again, it would have been nice if you led some scoring drives. You would have felt better about the quarterback. And if you felt better about the quarterback, you would have felt better about the game because you would have felt like there's some hope down the line. None of those things happened. But again, it's like you ran like 14 plays in the first half, like just like last week. It's like if you're not able to establish a rhythm, you know, Kendre Miller, that was a weird situation. You know, I think you went into that game with Kendre, and that's going to be something we could talk about in the final segment, really. But like, you were in the 2-minute drill the entire second half. That's why he didn't get the ball. And that's why Jordan Mims was in there. Jordan had a chance to show something he didn't. Jordan, man. Yeah. Like,
he was also getting heaters from Spencer.
Yeah. I think he got better about it as the game went on, but like, there was one of the first throws he made was just a bullet to the edge of the field of like, guy, just get it to him. Like, it doesn't have to be a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Jeez, what the hell was that? He's getting wounded out there. Yeah, one of the only guys I didn't come out negative on was Blake Groupie because like he was just standing there the entire game. They kicked off. Blake kicked off to open the game. That's it. He did nothing else the rest of the day. Wow. He was out there warming up. The fans were like, what are you even bothering for? And I was like, they're right. Just go sit down. Why are you wasting your time? Like, you're not getting into scoring range. It was a bummer because he was out there in pregame warm-ups bombing 60-yard kicks through. He looked great. And I was like, oh, this is going to be
a little redemption for him, right?
Yeah. Because I think he was looking forward to his game. And he never even got a chance to try any extra point. Man. So that is
try to do in a post game show and get going. Hey, now it's time to get to some Saints highlights. And then you get crickets. Right.
Oh, jump pass. Dante Pettis, baby.
That other throw, I'll say too, I don't know how Foster Moreau caught one pass that it seemed like he just lofted it up there.
Well, he didn't loft it. He gunned it. But it was like, what are you doing? Like, that wasn't a good decision. It ended up being a good result.
Somehow Foster got that.
Just another example of like, whoa. Like, that could have easily been an interception. Like, if Foster doesn't, like, he made an incredible catch on it, which Foster's been doing that all season, making great catches. If he doesn't, that's going right into the safety's arms for an interception, maybe even like a pick six, because anytime you throw to the safety that far down the field and they just have room to run, you're in trouble. But no, anyway, that's
yeah, for that play alone, Bobby gave Foster the player of the game award. I gave it to the fans that were out there because I couldn't find any player of the game.
I appreciate how many Saints fans there actually were. It always amazes me.
Right. You're like, what? And then the front row, it's not like they're up in the rafters.
Well, I think there's a lot of Saints fans around the country that wait for, you know, like they're from, there's just a random Saints fan in Wisconsin. It's like, I'm going to that game, you know? Yeah. And they're always there. You always find them. But I always feel like after when you see a game like that and it's like, are those Saints fans ever going to go to another Saints game again? Like how many Saints fans arrived at this game that left with such a bad taste in their mouth that they're just like, I'm going to save my money next time? Because I don't know, I would.
Well, that's a good question. What we're going to see coming Sunday in the Dome, what's that going to look like?
I can assure you that Raiders fans won't be traveling. Because why would they do that?
Sure, right. Maybe unless a trip to New Orleans. Like, but...
Yeah, but it's like if you're trying to, like, in a lot of, like, if it was the Packers, it'd be like, oh, they want to get out of the cold anyway, so they're going to come down here. The Raiders, they don't have to do with that. It's definitely not cold in Vegas.
No.
What is the temperature in Vegas right now?
I'd guess somewhere in the 60s.
It's 50. So it's okay. It's about the same. But yeah. So,
it's a dry cold.
It's a dry cold. The fallout is that it's a nuclear winter and this fan base will not be livable again for, it's like the actual game fallout. You can go up to the surface, but you're going to have a rough time. Stay in your bunker and maybe in 50 years, this fan base will be livable again. But for now, just cut your losses, eat canned food.
Don't worry. We got basketball season. Oh, wait.
We don't worry. Netflix has Christmas Day games now. Those were terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to hear the worst? You want to hear the worst part? I lost my fantasy playoff matchup.
Oh,
by
no.
0.07.
0.07.
That happened because DeMario Davis got credited with a phantom half tackle on the kneel down, and it was not corrected. And that's why I lost. I had Kendre Miller. I could have started anyone else. I started Kendre like an idiot. I thought he got just enough. He did not. I could have started Zay Flowers. Could have started Kareem Hunt. Could have started basically anyone on my bench.
Gotcha.
And I lost because DeMario got 8.5 points instead of 8. Because like I looked,
holy
the Saints
shit.
Were on offense and they got a first down. I'm like, okay, the Saints aren't even going to go back on defense. Even if they do, it's going to be kneel down. So like I won, and I turned off my phone, and I looked back at it, and all of a sudden I've lost. I was like, how did DeMario Davis get a half tackle when the Packers didn't run a play? So I lost that fantasy playoff matchup because I got cute and started Kendre Miller. So
that also seems like a ridiculous, you know, final stat there to get credit for. I don't know if there's any hope of that being rescinded.
It's too late now. I mean, the game's already been played this week. I lost.
Right,
And it's I don't think it was I think it was like a stat correction from earlier in the game. But it was funny because I was kind of keeping an eye on it throughout the game because I was going against DeMario and I was at the game and they were being very generous with you know, you don't really notice it unless you pay attention. But like there was one, he got credit for a tackle. He was just standing next to a guy who fell. And I was like, he didn't make a tackle.
You're like, what the hell?
And normally I would have no appreciation for like the actual stats getting rolled up throughout the game. But because I was going up against it, and I was up 4 points going in, I was like, okay, Kendre Miller is not going to get outscored by 4 by DeMario Davis, who's an IDP. He did. I lost.
So like during the game when they started going with Mims and Williams, were you like, put Kendre back in? What are you doing?
Trust me. People after the game were like annoyed by it. And I was like, you think you're annoyed by it? Anyway, so.
That's a bad beat for sure, man.
That's a tough one. It's a tough one. But I have two leagues. That was one of them. I lost in that one, but I won the other one. So I am in a fantasy final this week, but I should have been in both. And this is a league where your third place game actually gets your dues back. So it's worth playing. Like I'm not completely, you know, I could still get, you know, $100 or whatever. But man, that was a rough way to lose that matchup.
It just goes hand in hand with this Saints season, sadly, Jeff.
I should have never bet. It's my fault. I can't blame no one but myself.
Right.
And it's like, if I didn't cover the Saints, I would have never done it because I was trying to get cute. And that's
I know it well. I did it many times this year.
I didn't start Jaden Daniels because I was like, oh, the Eagles definitely aren't going to allow 36 points to a rookie quarterback. And I started, and like the guys I started, Jared Goff, Joe Burrow, both had great games, but they didn't go up to 36 like Jaden Daniels did. So if I had started Jaden Daniels, I would have won. Anyway, that's, I don't need to get into it. Let's wrap up this segment. Let's go back. The fallout is, I hate everything and nothing is good. And we'll come back. We're going to talk about, okay, who are the players you want to see evaluated over the next 2 weeks? We'll do that. This is Inside Black and Gold. Who dat? Go Saints.